British Public Radio. Technology. Tech Talk with T3, the gadget website.
Coming up on this week's show, throw out your hard drives and extract some DNA. It's the storage of the future and also of the past, of course. Speaking of past and future, Nokia finally ditches Symbian. Steve Jobs is set to land in April. The film, that is, not the person. And the UK 4G auction is underway. By incredible coincidence, EE chooses the same week to drop its prices. Plus, it's January. Apparently, we should also be trying to get fit. We'll have a look at the best gadgets to help you on your way. All that and more with my co-host, Newshound Andrew Wooden, and the man who stares at the man who stare at goats. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
What has the world come to when a company announces the best financial results in the history of finance, and their share price immediately goes down by 15%.
It's just another betrayal by Apple.
It's just because Apple have become so arrogant, everybody's punishing them. No, because I'll tell you what it is, it's because the analysts, back to the analysts again, they've spent the last sort of 2 or 3 years basically artificially inflating Apple's share price by saying it can only go up. It can never stop going up. It's going up exponentially, and eventually all the money in the world will belong to Apple because every single Apple share will cost £1 trillion. And it's turned out that's not actually the case. And in fact, Apple can't continue doubling its profits year on year.
No.
Because that would be impossible. Yeah. Even the Chinese state has ceased expanding at the ridiculous rate that it was, and they're a country. What's my point, you ask?
I think your point is that you can't have exponential growth forever, or exponential growth means forever, I think.
Unless you're talking about computer processors or hard drives.
Or the love of Jesus.
Or the love of Jesus.
Yes.
Or the love of Steve Jobs when he comes again.
Or is it Moore's Law that says it will...
Yes, Moore's Law.
Computers will double every 6 months in processing power or something.
On then to our top story. And, well, there are only three little letters, but DNA could be the answer to our storage needs. I thought IKEA was. Scientists this week have managed to write a photo, an academic paper, Shakespeare's sonnets, and a video of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, all to DNA. And rather crucially, another lot of scientists have been able to read the data back with 100% accuracy. In the future, it's calculated that one cup of DNA could store...
One foaming cup of DNA.
One frothy cup of DNA.
These things microscopic.
Could store 100 million hours, that's 11,000 years, of HD video.
How much could you get in a pint of DNA?
That's interesting.
That would just be loads of storage.
That would be a lot of...
That'd be all the data ever.
Well, it depends if you've got a head on that.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's all very well saying, a cup of DNA. Yeah. What does that actually mean? That's going to be some sort of disgusting primeval sludge.
Yeah, primordial soup.
And is it literally going to be in a cup?
Are we talking Starbucks here, or, you know?
Exactly. You can get a bucket of coffee in there.
1 gram of DNA could store 2.2 petabytes, which, as we all know, is 500,000 DVDs.
Well, I'm not using DVDs anymore, Dan, but I suppose for people trapped in the past.
Yeah.
In researching this story, I found out how much data there is in the world. Did you know this?
Yeah. Digital data?
Digital data. There are 3 zettabytes.
Okay.
Which doesn't sound that much, really, when you put it like that.
Sounds made up.
Apart from the else, I don't know what a zettabyte is.
Exactly.
Well, it would be a lorry load of DNA.
God.
Yeah. Sloshing around in the back.
Of cups.
You wouldn't want that on the, spilling out on the M1.
How do you get this DNA into your disk drive or whatever?
The rub.
So, hence the cup, I suppose.
So basically, this is Harvard professor George Church and his team of 3, the European Molecular Biology Laboratory, which happens to be in the UK, incidentally.
Makes you proud.
So they've come up with this, and you know where they came up with it?
Go on.
For a laugh?
Where they came up with it?
The lab?
Yeah. On the toilet?
No. In that other area of great inspiration, the pub.
The pub?
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my second guess.
Using DNA to store data isn't new. But what they've done in the past, so DNA, apparently, someone really scientific is going to pull me up on all of this. Mm. So you've got four...
Well, the thing about DNA is obviously it holds a lot of information because it holds the code of to life itself.
That's sort of the point of it.
And it consists of 4 chemical bases.
Thank you, Dr.
Wooden. So there's 4 chemical bases in your DNA. All right, pay attention now. So you've got A, T, C, and G. Okay. Yeah, now, what they've done in the past when they've been doing this, they've put all the data into binary because that's what computers use, and they've gone the say, for instance, sake, A and T, that's a zero, and C and G's, they're ones, and they've coded it like that. And that works, it's fine. Mm. But the problem is, for when you're writing DNA, bear with me, what can happen DNA, is, yeah, it's very easy to repeat. The one of the bases, so you could have four A's instead of one. I'm told. So, what they have solved is a way to get around that, which is by turning all the data into ternary data, which is just 0, 1, and 2 instead of just 0 and 1. But what the clever bit they've done is basically each time you use a letter, the code changes so that you never repeat a letter again. So A would be 1, and then the next time you wanted to write another 1, it might be T. And this means that if there's two A's next to each other, honestly, trust me, it works. If there's two A's next to each other, they know it's a mistake. Okay. And then they've built in all sorts of other things as well. But so that's the clever thing. Do you know how much it costs per megabyte at the moment?
Million frillion pounds, and that's close. Where the entire thing breaks down.
$12,400.
Yeah.
Per megabyte.
Per megabyte.
That's almost as much as BT Open Zone Wi-Fi.
Oi!
Yay!
Or EE4G.
Yay! Oi! There's plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. Yes, Ofcom this week has announced that the auction for the UK's remaining 4G spectrum has begun, with 7 major networks all competing to get their slice of high-speed data. It'll take several weeks to complete, and then several months to actually launch. With impeccable timing, EE has also chosen this week to lower its prices and increase its data allowances. Amazing what a little competition can do.
The long-awaited Surface Pro will land on the 9th of February, but only in the US and Canada. Ooh. The 64GB model will set Americans back a mighty $899 with the Surface Pen, but it'll be another $119 if they want the killer keyboard slash case, making a grand total of $1,018.
Ouch. Keyboard slash case. Yeah. Slash case.
Yeah. Nokia has finally kissed goodbye to Symbian, despite selling, get this, 2.2 million Symbian running smartphones worldwide in the last 3 months of 2012 alone. In a company's earnings announcement released this week, Nokia confirmed it will be killing off its Symbian OS in favour of Windows Phone 8. It means the 808 PureView, released last year, will be the last Symbian smartphone from the Finns. Rumours this week that production of the Neo Geo X had been discontinued are not true, apparently. Tomo Inc. has made an official statement stating it'll be continuing to support the Neo Geo X format going forward with more games, peripherals, and software update, as well as more units of the console hardware. So that's that then.
Steve Jobs is dead, but yes, the film. But the film chronicling his rise to success, Jobs, has at least been given a release date. It'll hit screens with a premiere at the Sundance Film Festival. Look out for Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs and Josh Gad as Steve Wozniak, plotting the pair's rise from the Apple II to the launch of the Apple's first iPod. 19th of April is the date, timed to nicely coincide with Apple's 37th birthday.
The big 37.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing. Well, it's always going to be a certain amount of years since a thing.
Yeah, but it's their actual birthday. That's 19th of April's the birthday.
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure the 37 is that significant.
Yeah, they've held it back until 2013. They could have released it last year. They held it back to hit the big 37.
All the stuff I saw, it was like 37th anniversary, and then the film be out. It's like, that's not an anniversary.
It's a nerd joke. Maybe like 37 is in some way significant.
Do you see how they've written Jobs? It's very clever.
Yeah.
A small J and then OBS.
Like an I. Mind you, I was going to say like an iPod, like they always have little letters at the start of their gadgets, but then they don't have capital letters for the other letters, do they?
No, it's rubbish. They don't have lowercase letters, plural. They have the letter I.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, the I is lowercase. The P is uppercase.
Yeah, the J could be made to look a bit like an I, couldn't it?
So Dave Vadis has said regarding Sky Go, was happy to see this until I realised Sky will be trying to squeeze more money from customers like they do for HD. Clearly HD should be free and standard by now.
Do they still charge for HD, Sky?
Yeah, probably. Want a further £5 a month for this. I don't know. Virgin doesn't charge me for HD.
No,
BBC
Virgin never has. They made a point of that.
Well, you know.
And I've just got UView. They don't charge extra. No. Sky's really behind if it's still charging.
Well, it's a fiver a month. I would say in terms of corporations relieving you of your money, it's not the worst crime that you could ever look at.
I think with Sky, it's more like HD is now considered to be the standard subscription, if you like.
Yeah. Right.
And you're getting it cheap if you don't have HD.
Right.
I think that's
a bit like a black and white TV license.
Their customers are made.
Which, you know, isn't... I'm not going to call that as the worst injustice I've ever heard.
So what do we got for our gadget of the week?
So it's called the Arcos Gamepad.
Oh, right, okay. What does that
mean? So it's a tablet.
What type of tablet is it?
It's an Android tablet.
Ooh.
Well, it's got a D-pad at the top and a sort of shrunken joysticky type thing on the side.
Yeah, and there's the rub, because the it's got two joypads, rather like the PS Vita, but the joypads... the little kind of analog sticks, they're considerably worse than on the Vita. They're actually terrible. I would go so far as to say unusable.
Oh.
So my initial thought was, this is a complete waste of time. But it turns out you can map the button. There's an old school D-pad.
Mm.
So you don't have to bother with all this analog shenanigans.
Yeah. I mean, I can see
the
buttons point.
Work really well.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. You have tablets or phones, and they have all these great games. You can do amazing graphics on them now. Well,
yeah, I mean, are the games good enough to warrant...
I think there's
some serious.
I mean, you can do other games. You're forced with things like Temple Run and stuff, where you don't use controls.
Yeah, I mean, touchscreen only games are probably the best, but.
Isn't this kind of a backwards step? Shouldn't we be designing games that work well without
controls? Because obviously, you do
increasingly
get sort of much more like games like you would get on the PS Vita, but somewhat cheaper. People want to, play games that are cheap as opposed to expensive, which is why nobody's buying the PS Vita, I guess. And this is like a step towards it, and it's like it's all right. It seems too big to me, but then gadgets generally seem too big to me these days.
Physical controls on the side are something a lot of people have always been asking for on these, so it's good in that respect. It's just whether it's applied particularly well that's the rub.
This is the time of year when we should be donning Lycra and getting physical to some synthesized music. At least, that's what I'm told. Naturally, T3 wouldn't embark on such a venture without some gadgetry, and T3.com has just the thing with its hottest fitness tech to look out for in 2013. Is that still playing?
Yeah,
turn it off.
I finally worked out how to turn it off. Sorry, I've been sat here for the last several minutes trying to find the off.
It's all right, it's off.
So fitness gadgets. I trust you have an armory of these at home, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Of T3.com's selection, which have you plucked?
I chose the Happy Fork. If you're not familiar, it's a fork that vibrates if you're eating too much. So
does it also weigh what you're eating?
No, it's if you're eating too quickly.
Yeah, exactly. But then if you're eating quickly, more is...
Yeah, then you're eating too much.
You've only got a certain amount for dinner time, so... Yeah, I think that's the logic behind it.
Well, you've got a finite dinner time.
Well, I'm assuming that's the criteria.
Do you actually live in an institution?
I live in a home, yeah.
You have to eat very quickly before you get shivved. Because of that incident
I'm on day release, part of my
that's
deal.
Why, that's why we couldn't get you last week. Yeah. Dunk, what have you got?
I like the iBits. Is it called the iBits? It basically allows your children to have more privileges if they do exercise. So they kind of almost like Nike fuel points.
Yeah. A nice one.
If it detects they've run around enough, it'll let them have longer on their computer or maybe an extra helping of...
chocolate ice cream, whatever.
Which I thought that's a great idea, because it's like training your children pretty much exactly as you would train a dog or a pet.
It is exactly that, rewards for running.
It's
and
like
stuff.
The ultimate competitive dad's thing, isn't it? Because like Nike Fuel Band is like, oh, look how many Nike fuel points I've got today.
Yeah.
This is like, look how many miles I forced my child to run today.
Well, I've gone for the iRiver OM, which is a interesting...
iRiver is still going.
My God. Those that's plucky little MP3 people. But this is quite nice. So, you know, normally you've got your Nike Plus wristband or whatever. This one's in the headphones. So, because you wear the headphones anyway, don't you? When you're running. So you've got your heart rate, your speed, your calories, all that malarkey. But it's coming out in March. It's going to be $200, which is it's a bit more pricey than Nike Plus. Right, Andrew, time to go back. The guard is waiting.
The warden is calling.
Yeah, that is about all for this week.
Hi,
remember, T3.com has all the latest. We're on iTunes every Friday.